Hey, it's George Rock. This is the World Rock Countdown, the place you'll find yet-to-be-discovered bands, emerging artists, and the hottest new songs in rock from all over the world. I'm speaking with Andrew from the California band Project 86. How are you, Andrew?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me today.
Hey, no problem. Looking forward to the new record. It's called Sheep Among Wolves. Can you elaborate on the meaning behind the album's title?
Yeah, it's kind of referencing the idea of not knowing who to trust, or not knowing who, you know, the good guy or the bad guy is in a given situation. And the idea that sometimes a sheep can be in wolf's clothing, but also a wolf can be in sheep's clothing as well.
After listening to most of your discography, I feel that your sound is constantly evolving. How do you keep things fresh when writing a new record?
Man, that is the biggest challenge, obviously. When you're a veteran band and you've put out more than a couple of records, you have a decision to make. And the decision is, do we keep writing the same record over and over and over again, and will that please the fans? There are a lot of bands that do that and maintain their career. I think of AC/DC when I think of that, because they've written the same songs and the same records over and over and over again. But if you go back to their earlier material, it's very obvious that their better songs came out early on, and they've just been sort of regurgitating the same thing over and over again, and the artistic quality just goes down from there. And I find that true in any artistic endeavor. The first time you try something is usually the best, and then anytime you try to recreate that magic, it's just not as good. It's like a carbon copy thing. And so just to first and foremost keep ourselves excited about making music, it's always been important to reinvent with each successive release. And so that means trying new instrument sounds and experimenting with different, you know, vocal approaches or lyrical concepts, production techniques, song arrangements, you know, anything and everything, pulling from different influences, etc. And so we've been able to keep it fresh.
Now, Sheep Among Wolves features 10 songs and it will be available through every digital outlet out there December the 5th. And that's a band who's been together since 1996. You've seen the music industry change, haven't you?
Yeah, obviously it's nothing. Nothing is the same as it was when we first started. Where to begin even with that thought or that question?
Oh, it's a tough question
it's such a different landscape, and I almost have a heart for artists and bands that are trying to quote unquote make it right now. It was always difficult to, you know, make a living doing music, but now it's virtually impossible unless you're selling millions and millions of records. And who's selling millions and millions of records anymore? You know what I mean? When we first began as a band, it wasn't easy to start a band. You know, the technology wasn't available. And so just to say, hey, I play in this band, was a very cool concept because it was rare. And people still bought records, you know, up until the early 2000s, early to mid 2000s. People bought CDs and, you know, artists could make a living. Now it's just, you know, digital streaming, and you have to stay one step ahead because, you know, the audience that listens to music really isn't aware of how much the landscape has changed and how difficult it's become for artists to make a living. And when I say make a living, it requires so much time and thought and energy to make an album, to record music, to do all the little things that go into the day-to-day of just being an artist and being a band, things that, you know, someone who's not in your shoes takes for granted probably. And so that's why I say it gets increasingly difficult. That, combine that with the fact that the public has just such a short attention span. You have to stay in their face constantly and engaging them. It's just a very time-involving thing to be an artist. And so we've been fortunate to stay a little bit ahead every step of the way and to have fans who engage with us and who support us.
So now if we're talking about up-and-coming bands who want to make a career playing music, we're talking about this now. So what
is your advice for making that a reality? Do they have the tour? Do they have to go out there and play constantly? What type of opportunities do they have to take advantage of?
Now, I really think you have to maximize your efficiency as an artist these days. And so you have to combine roles that you would normally hand off to other people and pay them to do. You have to do those things yourself. You know, whether we're talking about the business side of things, or the marketing side of things, or, you know, being your own visual designer, a graphic designer, you know, typically when you do an album, there's so many different people involved, but if you can learn to record yourself, do your own artwork, negotiate your own terms on any sort of, you know, deals, licensing, record deals, etc. You can be your own manager, and you can do all this in a professional way, you know, you're ahead of the game, you know, and there's not a lot of artists that can take off the artist hat and do these other roles, you know, but I think the future is the multitasking artist who's able to wear the business hat, is able to wear the songwriter hat, is able to wear the recording engineer hat and the graphic designer hat and combine those all into one. And that's the way to keep your overhead low and to give yourself the best opportunity to succeed.
And with the latest record, you've chosen to go about the Pledge Music route, which is crowdfunding or fundraising for a new record. Can you explain the advantage to having all these fans who are diehards for your band? This is your second or third record you've fundraised for or crowdfunded for?
This is our third album that we've done a crowdfund for, and each one has been very different from the others in terms of the experience that we've offered the fans. And then it's also, we've learned a lot of lessons along the way, so I think we've gotten better and better at it. And when I say better, it's really just all about giving the fans a satisfactory experience from top to bottom. There are, you know, crowdfunding has become a lot more popular, and the music buying audience responds well to it. But there have been a lot of mistakes made along the way by most fans. And really what it just comes down to is this. People pay money to pre-order or to, you know, give a certain dollar amount in exchange for something that they're getting in the far-off distant future, right? Because essentially bands are trying to get a large chunk of money at one time that they can use to put into recording an album. And so what happens is that the artist engages with the fans for a month really heavily and gets their money, and then they disappear for a year, and then a lot of people don't get their stuff, and then the bands don't talk to the audience, and people don't receive anything. And we tried to really do the opposite of that with this campaign. So we structured the entire campaign for constant communication and engagement, and also payoff gradually throughout the process. And I think it's really translated well on our end. It's been successful because fans don't feel like they're just dropping some money on a band and then not seeing their stuff for 2 years. They really feel like, you know, we're communicating with them regularly, and we're also giving them lots of music as we go. So we've allowed our fans to get when we started this campaign a year ago, an initial download of 5 songs, which was an EP that we recorded to launch our campaign. And then we've also given them 1 song a month as we've written and recorded the new album. So we recorded the album in a really unorthodox fashion, and also allowed the fans to be a part of it every step of the way. So every time that we would be recording a song or releasing a song, there was a fresh engagement from the audience and a fresh, you know, burst of excitement, for lack of a better term. And along the way, I've also, you know, been giving people kind of an oral history of the band, which is pretty extensive, and I have a lot of really great stories of things that we've experienced along the way. And so anyone who's on the inside of this Pledge Music campaign has really felt like they're a part of something special, and really something special even in the context of crowdfunding. And so we've really unlocked a magic formula this time around, and who knows if we do this again, you know, how we'll approach it next time. But, you know, throughout this process, it's been really perfect for both the band and the fans.
And speaking of audiences in general, playing to them, Project 86 has toured the world, almost seen almost every place in the world, right?
Not everywhere. I mean, we've been to certain places quite a bit, and we've, been to other places once or twice, but we've never been to the Far East. We've never been to Russia. We've been all over Europe, but there's a lot of European countries we still haven't visited. We've never been to South America, but we have been to Australia and Canada a bunch, and every state in the U.S. and all over
Are there
Europe.
plans to explore all those other countries or play in those other countries?
It's really just about, having a fan base in other markets and territories. If there's a promoter there, or if there's a promoter there that wants to roll the dice and bring us out. And the strongest thing about our band is our live show by far. I've had people tell me throughout the history of this band, just the records are good, but they don't really do justice to what we are live. We just did a European tour recently, and I remember we played the show in Germany, and the promoter told me that after. He's like, "Gosh, just live, it's just a whole other thing, man." That's what we've always gone for, and we've always tried to write music that translates well to the live show as well. So, yeah, I mean, if there's any promoters out there listening and you're on the fence, we'd love to come to your town and do our best to create a memorable experience.
And live shows, I actually read up on this. You collaborated with Sonny from POD. You've also played a show, or was it a tour, with Linkin Park as well. Did you have a chance to meet Chester at all?
Oh yeah, I mean we toured with them for 6 or 7 weeks years ago, and we hung out with those guys every single day on that tour. So yeah, we spent a lot of time with those guys.
Do you have
And
any
it was really
stories about
sad to
Chester,
hear
or
about
yeah?
Chester, obviously. And yeah, that was pretty close to home because that's someone that I've hung out with and that I know. Haven't talked to him in a long time, or hadn't talked to him in a long time, but. Yeah, that was a real devastating thing to hear about.
What's one memorable thing you can remember about Chester?
Oh,
Like a
man.
personal experience.
I'm trying to think if I have a specific story that's like exciting to tell. I mean, you have to understand, like every day we would just eat at catering together or see each other backstage or say what's up, and hang out. I can't remember anything specific, like of him saying anything that, or doing anything backstage. Like that whole band, those guys are they're really chill guys. So they're just the kind of dudes that are very normal and you just hang out with. Like they didn't really do anything crazy. And I kind of found that to be charming for, or sort of a breath of fresh air as compared to like other bands. They were just all had their heads screwed on right, and they all seemed like responsible adults. And I remember, that tour that we did with them was their very first tour, so it was on their first single, on their first record, and they were the opening act for the tour. So they were playing before us. And I remember when the tour started, their single was out on the radio, but their album hadn't dropped yet, and so. They didn't have a ton of fans at the shows, but as the tour went on, they became the biggest band on the tour right before our very eyes, and the crowd just got more and more into them each night, as their record was selling insane out the gates. And so it was interesting seeing them trying to figure out their live show, you know what I mean? Because they didn't, when you start a band, you don't totally know what you're doing. So it was interesting seeing them. I remember their first couple shows. They didn't sound very good. I remember Chester would lose his voice a lot, and as the tour went on, they sort of started to figure it out. And you could see throughout the progression of their career, they got better and better and better live. I'm sure the same could be said about us or any other band. So, but it was just interesting, to see this band that became the biggest rock band on the planet opening for us. And just not being that awesome live, and just kind of figuring it out, and just being green and not knowing what they're doing, and all that stuff. That was, I guess, that's the funniest takeaway from that tour, was that they were hoping Linkin Park was opening for us.
Well, there's an old saying that says practice is makes better, right? I mean, every time you go and
yeah,
do
perfect.
It, you play live, you get better because you get more of a feel of the stage with your bandmates, this and that. So your band is going to be touring nationally around the United States for this new record, Sheep Among Wolves?
Yeah, we actually don't have a tour booked at the moment. This is the first time that we didn't have a tour lined up for an album release. But I don't know if you need that these days in music. Like, all of our engagement comes online. You know what I mean? And people engage with music online now. It's like getting people to come out to shows is like twisting arms these days. I mean, certain bands draw pretty well, but it's so much more difficult to get people to come out to shows than it used to be. So, yeah, we've just really approached this as like a virtual experience, essentially, you know, this album, and that's how we're going to build it as the album is released.
Well, thanks for taking the time to speak with me. I'm sure we'll talk once again. December the 5th, Sheep Among Wolves. You heard from Andrew from Project 86 right here on the World Rock Countdown.